Welcome everybody to the Faith Journey Journal. I am your host, Zakiya Robinson. And in today's show, I have Pastor Jennifer Strait, and she's going to talk to you about her calling, how she left her full-time job to walk into her purpose through obedience and some disobedience, through forgiving and taking the leading voice of God. She had many trials along the way. So tune in because this is a show you don't want to miss. Welcome everybody to Be the Light. I am Zakiya Robinson, and today I have Jennifer Strait on.
Hello.
This is her first time being on the show, and I wanted to bring her in because she has recently had some life changes in work, and she has transitioned into ministry full time. Yes, and I wanted to bring this to, you know, the audience of those who watch, just simply because there's so many of us, God is calling us out of our old ways, our old things, old jobs. And he's birthing ministry. He's wanting us to go full-time ministry. He's wanting us to do what he has called us to do, to write the book, to tell the story. Yes. And it sometimes calls for us to come out of our full-time jobs and fully depend on him. And this can be hard. This is one of the things that a lot of people come to me for, is they begin to ask me, like, how did you do it? And, like, you know, what can I expect? And all of these different questions. And I wanted to bring Jennifer on because this is very new for you, right?
Yes, very new. Yes, ma'am.
So this is very new for Jennifer, and I wanted to bring her on so that she can just share her testimony on how it started, when she knew that God started to call her. And so, Jennifer, I want to hand this over to you, you know, to talk to the people. Tell us a little bit about your background and how this came about for you.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Jennifer Strait. How this came about, my calling, I feel that I've been having this calling since 2016. That's when God has called me. He called me to preach. But later after, though, is just like a strong indication that he wanted us to start our ministry, which is us, is my husband and I. So, but we just, he planted us at different churches. We went to three different churches before God actually called us into our church. And then I feel that he did that so that we can learn and grow. Because I believe that a spiritual covering is very important to have when you're in the ministry. And when you are being discipled is also very important as well, because you have to be trained up once God gives you that calling. But it's just been recent that we have been started our own church.
I want to talk about that you just said, though.
Yes.
You just said that God moved you to separate three different locations. It's crazy because that's exactly what God did to me and my husband. He moved around to different locations so that we could be shepherded.
Yes.
Because it's very important. You know, there's different things that God's going to have you do for your ministry, and he needs you to be able to lead certain ministries in order to get that. So I wanted to point that out. You've been feeling like God is telling you to leave certain churches, and you're like, God, is this you? Yeah, it's possibly him, because he's wanting you to learn something from a different ministry before he just pushes you out. I think about the disciples, how Jesus taught them many things. And they had to take, you know, all the teaching
go on their own,
where he's pushed them out. So I wanted
to
that's a strong point.
And when after Jesus, you know, died, they got stronger in the word of God because they were actually there with him. So that was each time we left, it was God speaking to us. We didn't leave on our own accord in any situation, which the world or people might see it differently, but no. God told us to move, and we moved. This last church that we were at, we were there, if I'm not mistaken, it was 6 or 7 years. It was quite some time. And I would say God began to give me those it's time to move time, you know, but not right now. And I was like, at the point, I'm like, I'm ready to leave, you know, because we weren't growing. We were idle. You know, we were idle. There was no growth. So, and I felt in my mind like it's time to go. But God was like, no, not right now. And I kept hearing that, not right now. My husband as well. So we was like, okay, we're going to be content. We're going to be content. We're going to obey. But then on to actually like my job. So I was a general manager at a U-Haul location for many years. So I seen this job from ground up. I actually started U-Haul as a housekeeper, which was that I started the one day God called me. Literally the next day, I got this job. And that was a job that I said, I'm never doing that. I'm not serving anybody. I'm not cleaning up after anybody. And I prayed about it. God called me that day. And then the next day, 7:30 in the morning, I get a call saying, hey, can you come in for an interview? I'm like, huh? You're like, how does that work out? But I went and got the job on the spot. So I worked for 2 years as a housekeeper, and shockingly, I was content. I loved it. It matches the hours that I asked God for. I was able to still be at home with my children, weekends off, perfect. But then, you know, upper management, they was like, she doesn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? No offense. Yeah. He was like, no offense, but you don't supposed to be a housekeeper. And I was like, oh, I don't see why you see that, you know? And he said, how about you take this job, which was a management position? And I'm like, how am I going straight from housekeeping to management? I don't know how to do the register. I don't know any of that. But it was actually management over the entire storage. So I did auctions. I called customers. I trained different management and their teams. Everything storage. So that became a full-time job, still Monday through Friday. And I was like, I can do this, you know, a little bit more money. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And I excelled in that job, excelled in it. And then it was a manager had left one of the stores. And I was the first person that was on my boss's mind. And I was like, run a store? No, I don't want that headache. No, sir. And he was like, just talk about it. Go talk about it with your husband. See how it's going to work. And that's exactly what I did. I went home, talked about it with my husband. We prayed on it. 2 weeks later, I accepted the position. And then I worked that management position for 4 years and loved it. I absolutely loved my job. There was times that when, of course, I'm like, I can't take this no more. I'm leaving. There's too many people. There's too many spirits I'm dealing with. But even through that whole time, because I was there 8 years, through that whole time, as soon as God called me, that's when he started giving me speaking engagements. So I began to preach at, speak at just different people's churches. And I'm like, but I'm a babe, Christ. Like, I'm just getting started. He said, I know who you are. You know, so that whole time I began just speaking at different churches for different occasions. And I threw myself completely into ministry. But then it started to slow down when I got the management position. But I was fine with that because it was like almost an even balance. And then what had happened was, one day, this guy, because I'm good at problem solving. I love it. I love dealing with angry customers. That's what I was like, where they at? Send them to me, you know. But I was there alone this day, and he just really rubbed me the wrong way. I'm hooking up his trailer, and he says, "So what's your problem?" And I look up and I just hear out of my mouth, not today, Satan. Now that's something I never used. And I just looked up and I said, not today, Satan, and didn't realize I said it out loud. And then I just had just this weird feeling about this guy. It wasn't good at all. And then I just hook up his trailer and he say, what is your problem? And I say, sir, I'm doing my job. He said, you're doing your job. You're very good at your job. And you're even saying all the right things. I said, so what's your problem? And he say, you're rude. And I said, and all I did was started praying. I started praying out loud. And then he said, good. Yes, call on the Lord because you need him. And I put my hands out and I said, will you pray with me? And he said, oh, just hook up my trailer and just let me leave. And he left. And I was bothered. I was bothered. This was back in October of 2024.
Yeah.
And I was so bothered that I went and looked this guy up.
No, you didn't. And
yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because the spirit was like heavy on me. And as I looked them up, you know, there's the Baptist Association. And you know whose face popped up? When I clicked his name and it was the Baptist Association, it was his. Hmm. He was actually the president of the whole Southern Baptist Association.
Wow.
And it just bothered me. And I was like, God, why am I looking this up? What is wrong?
Yeah.
And I was like, he should have. And then he left me the rudest, ugliest review ever, like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And I was like, see, this is a man of God and he's not standing on his word. And he said, in the review, what stood out the most, he said, and she had the nerve to want to have a prayer meeting in the parking lot.
Wow.
And I was like, but he's holding a position. Like they're over many churches down this way. Mm. And it just bothered me. So yeah. I couldn't shake it. I just couldn't shake it. So I went home, couldn't sleep. It was just bothering me. And then 2 days later, a homeless guy walked in the job early in the morning. And he said, I said, how may I help you? And he said, I just want to know if I could rent one of those vehicles that's out there. And I just said, no, sir, not today. Very calm. And as soon as I said, no, sir, not today, he said, okay. And he walked out. Mm. And when I tell you the spirit, it's like I flushed. My whole body just flushed. And I was not me. And then I was like, I kept talking to the person I was talking to, but then God said, you missed your mark. You missed your mark. And I'm like, that's why I feel this way. So I was so convicted. I got up. This guy had literally just walked out of the store. I had a huge parking lot. So there was no way that I could have missed him. So I ran and I was like, did y'all see that guy? Did y'all see him? Which way did he go? And they was like, that way. So I'm walking. I'm on foot. Busy access road. I'm walking down this access road looking for this guy and wonder. And I'm like, how could he have gotten away? There's no way. I'm looking through a vacant lot that was next to my store. I'm like, no, God, no. Where is he? Where is he? Like, where is he? I came back to the store. I got in my car and I drove around looking for him. Mm. I could not find this guy for nothing. Mm. And I just sat in my car and I just cried. Mm. I cried and I was, you know how we do, we start apologizing to God. I started apologizing to him. I was so distraught that I went in, I checked my schedule to see how many people I had coming in and when they was coming in. The log wasn't busy and I said, yo, I got go. Mm. I don't feel well at all. So I came home and the next day I was going to hold a Bible study, but I was like, I can't do it. Mm. I'm I feel weak. I can't do this. And I started yelling at God, like, open this Bible. Show me what you need me to do. Show me what you need me to do. I don't like this feeling. Where are you? Flip the pages open. I'm yelling at God, yelling at him. My husband is sitting in the next room. He heard none of it. And I was very loud. And because I'm sitting in my bed, tears, Bible in my lap. I'm like, flip the page open. And this went on for about 30 minutes. And so then I said, fine, you won't ask me, you won't flip the pages to where you want me to go. I'll just study for my Bible study the next day, right? And so, crazy, I'm trying not to cry, I'm trying to keep it together. But our Bible study was in James. And we were on James chapter 4. And as soon as I start reading, the first verse, he's cutting me. He's like, and all I see is me in these scriptures. That's all I see is me. I said, have I confided into the world? He said, yes. Because with the job, I've been a fail. He told me to quit, but I had told my husband, no, I'm not going to leave that job until March because I want to make sure I get my yearly bonus. You know, because that's when the yearly bonuses come out. And I said, oh, no, they're going to give me my yearly bonus. I set me a timeline. I knew he told me to leave, but he didn't tell me when. And I said, I'm going after. I'll leave in March.
And you told God when you was going to leave versus.
Yes, I did. Wow. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And then at this same night, as I get to verse 13. In chapter 4, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas, do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what your life, it is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And I said, God, really? And I started yelling. I'm in my bed at this time yelling. And I heard God say, quit your job. And I was like, huh? He said, quit your job. Trust me. He said, December 31st. I'm hearing all of this. He said, December 31st will be your last day.
God loved that resurrection first. He had me quit October.
Yes.
At my job. At
December 31st actually happened to be my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You know, the funny thing about that, too, it was my 42nd birthday. 2 years ago, I told myself that I will no longer be working when I'm 42. I will be doing something related to God. I had a timeline and everything, and I forgot about it until he gave me December 31st. And I was like, you taking my words and using them for your glory. I see you, God. I see how you work. You know, he's letting me know that in my time. And he said, you're working for profit. You're not working for me. This has became, the job has became your life.
I need you to say that again. You said you're not working for profit. Finish it for me.
Yeah, he said you're not working. I mean, he said you're working for profit. You're not working for me.
Okay. See, I heard it like, the opposite way. You're not working for profit. You're working for me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you work for God, you don't know when that check coming. You don't know when that money's coming. You don't know when that bill's going to be paid. But I like that he even spoke to you in the flip of that, which was you're working for profit. You're not working for me, which means that there is a separation between profit and God. Mm-hmm. Okay, I need y'all to hear me on that. Now, not saying that God wants us to be broke, not saying that he wants us to be in that position because he doesn't. But there are times where he allows us to go through seasons of having very little so that we can see the glory. We can see him, you know, providing. We can see him doing things for us, even when we're like, God, how did you do that? Like, I know this had to be God. We will go through seasons of that. And so
there is
that has been called into ministry. call to walk away from your job, and you are choosing to continue in working for man versus working for God. You want that monthly check. You want that weekly check.
Yes.
Come on, let's speak about it. Security in man.
You on it.
Security.
You on it.
I was guilty of that. Okay. I ain't gonna lie.
You're on it.
My testimony. It ain't my time to shine. So go ahead, sis.
but you're on it right there. And that's what I didn't realize I was doing that until he told me. Until I read verse 13, I said, whoa. Like, he hit me so hard in that. So I put in the I came in that morning and I wrote the resignation letter. And he kept saying, send it. And I just was like, no, I'm not ready. He was like, send it. And I pressed send. That was honestly the most terrifying moment of my life. I did not want to press send. And when I pressed it, I cried. I was like, God, you're making me a big crybaby. What's going on? And so I gave my boss 2 months. Actually, you know, so during that 2 months, when I tell you the enemy was on me, he was on me so, so much. But in November, I was teaching a Bible study. And at the church we were going to at the time, after that, they also have a school. So we attended chapel, and something had happened during that chapel hour, and it was directed towards me. But I had a dream about that same moment months before. God will show you. God will show you. And as soon as I seen exactly like that dream that I had, God, all I heard was leave. God said, leave. And I cried because I heard his voice, because I wanted to, the flesh in me wanted to act a fool. Like, no, you will not embarrass me like that. But God said, leave. He said, get your stuff, leave, and don't come back. So I came home and I'm crying to my husband. I'm like, this is what happened. And he just pointed me out and I had nothing to do with this. And I said, but God is telling me to leave. And my husband sat up and he listened to me. We talked for hours. We prayed. And the next day, my husband, both in the kitchen, and we're talking about it again. And he says, it's time for us to start our own ministry. I said, you've been feeling it too? He's like, yes. He said, we've been called. We've been equipped. He says, we're ready. And then at the same time, we both came up with the name God's Will Ministry. It was almost creepy. Like, whoa, how you do that? You know, it was almost creepy. And my husband was like, on the first of the year, we're going to have our first church service. And I'm like, it's like, whoa. It's like, everything is moving fast. We haven't even told these people we leave in the church yet. You know, and that next Sunday, my husband went to church because God told me to leave already. He said, leave. My husband had to preach that day. So my husband was going to stand up to his word. He preached the word and then he let the pastor know that we would no longer be coming back. And the thing is, even when my husband went up there and asked him, you know, can I talk to you real fast? And he said, your wife's not coming back. Such a narcissist. And my husband said, no, we're not coming back. And the piece, because it was on Zoom, my husband thought he had cut the Zoom off already. But the piece that came over me to know that my husband stood up, not for me, but he stood up for what God has told us to do. And we actually went on a trip and God says, release. He said, release and get ready. And he told me, let go of everything. So
yeah,
because of all that, we started our first service. We've been going into our fourth month. And it's just been a blessing. It's hard. It's hard. There was, even before we had the first service, I was nervous. Mm-hmm. I was nervous to where I couldn't eat any of that. So I went on a, God had actually told me in December to go on a fast. He said the whole month of December, go on a fast. So I began a fast because the Spirit was with me. The first fast was till 6 p.m. The first 7 days was till 6 p.m. each day. And I did just that. No complications, anything. But during that fast, so my nephew had died back in December of 2023. I preached his funeral and I offered altar prayer at that funeral, which in the Baptist community is not common. I offered people to come into Christ. And that pastor of our church, he stopped it. He stopped it. And because God showed me, I've never felt that, but God showed me who was going to get saved that day. He pointed them out to me and he stopped it. And I was upset then, and God told me, yes, he did stop that. He did halt that. That can happen. He said, but your chance will come, or his chance will come, meaning God's will be done.
Right.
So as I'm on this fast in December, after God told me to leave the church, leave work, I'm on this fast and every day I'm praying and I'm studying. And my sister texts me and she says, the hearing for my son, my nephew's murderer would be December. So I'm like, okay, good. I'm going to make sure I'm there. That gives me time to prepare if I want to say something.
Mm-hmm.
God said, God brought his child up in November. And so we learned 2 days before. And I barely made it. I barely made it to this trial. And I didn't know it was his sentencing. And my sister was going to speak, talk to the young man. And my mom was going to talk to the young man. But as soon as the DA asked me, he said, who's going to speak? My sister looked dead at me. And she said, I can't. I said, why are you telling me? like, I don't know why I had that reaction, but I said, why are you telling me? And she said, I can't, sis. I can't. And then my mom said, oh, no, I'm not going up there because I'm going to say something. You know, she's ready to go off. And I had just gave a word to my sister and my mom sitting there about forgiveness. I don't know where this came from. I was pulling out scriptures right in the courtroom. And this is all on obedience, as all being obedient to what God is telling me. So then the DA looked, she said, is anybody going to speak? And my nephew's friend was there. She said, I will. And then I said, yes, I'll speak. Cause I felt the tap on my leg,
yeah.
But it wasn't the person sitting next to me. And then I was like, no. I was saying that like, no, that was the Holy Spirit telling me you're going to speak. And I was like, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you is. So I'm sitting there. Now at this time I stood up and I couldn't stop pacing. So I'm in the middle of the aisle of the courtroom, just pacing. And when it was our time, after they sentenced them, it was our time to go up and speak. So my nephew's friend went up there and spoke, and she said, can you go with me? And they said, nah, you can't, no one can come with you. You have to go by yourself. We'll be right there standing next to you. And she said, well, you go first. I said, nah, God is telling me you go first because you about to say something out of pocket. I said, just like that. And sure enough, she went up there and she was like, I don't think it's fair. This is, you took my friend's life. That was my brother. And you need more time than that. She stopped. So I went up there. At this time, the room went dark. At least I seen dark. And I could hear everybody in this courtroom individually. I could see everyone in this courtroom individually. I seen everything that was going on. It's like my senses had heightened. And I'm just standing at that bench and I'm like, God, Holy Spirit, where are you? You're going to have to be with me. You didn't give me time to prepare. You're going to have to be with me. You're going to have to, what do I say? So I make it to the bench and I still have no idea what to say. And so all I could do was look at the judge and I began to thank him and the lawyers for letting me speak. So I was like, Holy Spirit, where are you? And then he said, be quiet. And that's what I did. And at that time when I was quiet, there was no one else in the courtroom but me and my nephew's murderer. At least that's who I seen. And it was a spotlight on him and I. And I took the deepest breath I've ever taken in my life. And I said, we don't hate you. That, and it came out so flawless. I thought it was going to be hard. And it's like, I said, we don't hate you. I said, God has forgiven me so many times for me to hate you. I said, and I'm sure on behalf of my family and myself and my nephew, we forgive you because God has forgiven me so many times. And what makes my sin less than your sins? And he was a 27-year-old man, but I seen a 5-year-old kid standing in front of me. And I began to offer him to Christ. I began to offer salvation to him. And after that, the lights came back on. And I said, we love you. And I left out the courtroom. I told everybody bye. But when I got in my car, in the parking garage, I just praised him.
Amen.
Because out of obedience. And so obeying God allows us to get to know who he is. So that's what I learned from turning that homeless man down, that it wasn't about him getting a vehicle. It wasn't about, because in my head, you're homeless, you're going to take the vehicle. It wasn't about any of that. It was about offering him salvation. It was about loving on him. But instead, I turned him away. And I was so convicted of that. And I promised God that I will obey him. I will obey his voice from now on. And that's what I have been doing. And the more I obey, the more I hear from him, but the harder it gets. I'm not going to sit and lie in front like, oh, it's easy. Just pray to God. Just be quiet. It's not. It is. You have to fight every day your flesh. You have to fight your flesh every day to remain in the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've been dealing with because I had a big ego. I had a huge ego, especially being, I was the boss. I was, you know, I knew that job like the back of my hand. I can tell you the job without looking at the screen. And I had a big ego. And my husband, he bring it to me, ego, edging God out. Mm. And that's what I read when I read James chapter 4. I had been edging God out this whole time, thinking that I was doing what he wanted me to do. But in reality, I was doing everything according to my will and my way. Wow. I put his will to the side. Even though I knew what his will was for me, he told me, he showed me, but I felt I wasn't ready yet because he's taking too long. I sat him to the side and I was doing the way I wanted to do it.
Yeah, I want to say something about that, because a lot of times when God call you into ministry, one of the things you're going to already know that you're called to it, because you're going to start having dreams, you can be prophesied to, you will feel it within your spirit.
Yes.
But when he calls you to fully move into it, you're going to always feel like, I'm not ready. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Jesus, when Mary told him to go, he said, woman, it ain't time yet. I'm paraphrasing.
It ain't time. Yeah.
Jesus said the same thing. So if Jesus said it, we're going to probably say it too, like, I ain't ready. It ain't my timing. God, it ain't my timing yet. I still got 2 years. One of the things before God called me, I didn't feel qualified, because I felt like I was still dealing with me emotionally, mentally, and physically. I noticed that he had taken the alcohol away. He had taken the sleeping pills away, like the addictions. Yes. But I felt like I was still dealing with things emotionally. Like, how can I give a word, or how can I encourage someone when I'm still going through it?
Yes.
But what I think about is the disciples and how they went through many trials. They went through many things. They suffered many things. And they also talk about it, like, in their suffering, you know, even in prison, still writing letters, still writing the Bible. Mm-hmm. So who are we to say no to God because we feel like we are unqualified? One of the things that I realized is that God will pull you out of your job. Okay. He will pull you out of your job so that you can rely on him. He will pull you out of your job so he could show you that you rely on that job more than him. He'll pull you out of that job. It's like, for you noticed that you were dealing with some ego. You noticed that you were up at this job. And God changed me, God mold me, change me to the person you want me to be. Then guess what? He's gonna be like, okay, we're gonna start with this job, because this job, you got ego, we got a lot of pride.
Yes.
You feel like you're the boss. Yes. I need to humble you to bring you back low. And see, he started you off, and then he started elevating you. Sometimes God will elevate his position, and then if you abuse it, he will bump you right back down. He will take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say one thing. When you were doing the transition over, okay, from working for God to working for ministry, what were you feeling in the midst of the transition?
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety. As you said, are you sure it's me? Are you sure you want me to do this, God? Like, you just gave me a whole whooping about my ego, you know? And he said, this is what you should have been doing all along. And I just think he used that job to show me confidence, because I had no confidence before that job, none. So I think he used that job to show me confidence, and I just took it a little bit too far at times. Not being rude or nasty towards anyone, but I just knew that this is a job. I'm good at this job. I know my job. And that's the type of ego I had. Yeah. You know, like, this is my job. I know how to do this job. I'm the best at, I treated myself as if I was the best at that job.
Wow.
And he knew that. Mm-hmm. He knew that. And he was telling me that I need to put that energy into ministry. And I need to carry myself as if I'm the best at that ministry that he has given me, which means that it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of time. You know, it's not going to be a 30-minute prayer to him. It's going to be actually opening these books, studying his word studying. You're gonna have to really get in there and sharpen your tools. That's what he just gave me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, sharpen your tools that I have already provided, and become best in this ministry so that I may lead those souls to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and tell your testimony. And so that's what I do. I tell my testimony any chance that I get. If it's going to help one person, I'm thankful for that. But I tell my testimony all the time. But I was scared during that transition. Yeah. I was terrified, because is one thing leading employees. That was one thing. But to lead, to take on the role of leading souls to Christ,
well, I just
that was scary. Yes.
God allowed you to have this management position to humble you because he knew you were going to take a leading position in ministry.
Yes.
Another thing that hit me when you were talking was when Jesus called for the disciples, he pulled mm-hmm. them away from working. He pulled them away Ooh. From being a fisherman. He pulled them away from being a tax collector. He pulled them away and said, follow me. Now, this isn't for everybody. I want to make this very clear. There are some people that is called to be doctors, lawyers, mm-hmm. and things like that. It's a need. And so that mm-hmm. is your ministry, is to, you know, serve God's people that way. But then there are mm-hmm. a select few where he's pulling you from work so that you can go out and do mm-hmm. full-time ministry, whether mm-hmm. if it's healing, deliverance, mentor coaching, writing books, you know, whatever it is mm-hmm. that he's called you to do. Sometimes he pulls you out of work. I'm one of the people where he's pulled mm-hmm. out from working mm-hmm. for man, and I fully work from him. And even if I even think about wanting to get a job, because I'm like, okay, God, when is this next check coming? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it's coming when it gets there. Like, keep mm-hmm. working, okay? And so we want to encourage you that if God is calling you into full-time ministry, or if God is calling you to drop your full-time position to go to a part-time position, it's going to come with doubt. It's going to come with, God, did I hear you? It's going to come with mm-hmm. a little bit of fear and anxiety, just because it's like, mm-hmm. I'm stepping on unknown territory. Okay. Mm-hmm. But guess what? While you're moving in position with God and in the position of where he's calling you to, then you're going to begin to see him move in your life like you've never seen before. I've seen God pay bills, you know, that I'm like, okay, God, how mm-hmm. are we going to do this? And it's done. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to be your timing, but he's going to make sure that it's on time. We are not on man's time. We're on God's time. And so when you're making this transition, the big part of what I'm getting out of Jennifer's story is to move in obedience. Okay. The first mm-hmm. time, because it also took for her to go through being uncomfortable at her job now, because she didn't move mm-hmm. the first time. So now he's like, okay, you're not moving. Let's get uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you right now, mm-hmm. I have a full-on testament that will last probably 2 hours if I gave it. I ain't going to do it. Wow. But here's the thing. I've moved on disobedience before. I've moved on obedience before. And I'm going to tell you, moving on obedience is a lot more comfortable. Because when he told me to quit my job that I was working for, a ministry, and I'm like the program student coordinator, I'm loving my job. And it's ministry mm-hmm. too. So I'm like, I'm already doing ministry. I had to leave this full-time position and had to walk away from that, okay, and had to really trust in God. I'm telling you, it's not mm-hmm. easy. It's not easy. And many times you're going to think, did I hear God right? Especially when you see stuff starting to shift in a way where you were hoping that it wouldn't, all right? So we wanted to encourage you. And we're going to pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those out there right now, Lord God, that is going through a transition season. If you have called them, Lord God, to walk in obedience, Lord God, to the calling that you have called them to, we pray, Lord God, that they will be reminded of your goodness. They will be reminded of the many scriptures and stories that we have mentioned, Lord God, to be able to use for your glory. We pray right now God, that you will begin to remove all fears, all anxieties, all doubts, all concerns, that I'm not worthy of enough. I'm still dealing with this, God. We ask that you remove it out of their vocabulary and out of their minds, Lord God. And we ask that the Holy Spirit begins to rise on the inside of them to give them the boldness, to give them the courage, to give them, Lord God, the strength to carry out the mission that you have for them. Father, we love you and we thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Is there anything that you
want the
Spirit to tell the people before we close?
Yes, there is one thing I wanted to say. That in verse 17 of James 4, it says, it is a sin to know the right thing to do and choose not to do it. Mm. So as you said, once God tells you something, do it. Do it when he tells you to do it. And obedience requires action. Obedience requires action. And that action requires your time. Your time is going to require your commitment. So in all things, do it for the glory of God and make sure that you examine yourself in all things and make sure that it is for the faith, and it is in the faith of Jesus Christ. And I just encourage you to, again, be obedient and listen to God's word. Listen to his voice.
Amen. And you do have a church. Do you mind sharing with the people if they wanted to visit your church? Can you tell them where you're located at? You know, or I could put it in the description either way, but love to get that out there.
Sure. Our church is God's Will Ministry. We're located in San Antonio, Texas, at 901 East Drexel. That's what Drexel, 78220. We actually meet every Sunday at 3 o'clock in the small chapel of Baptist Temple Church. So if you're ever in the San Antonio area, just you can email us at godswillministry210@gmail.com. Or you can go on my personal Facebook page and send me a message, which is Jennifer Strait. And I'll be happy to give you the information as well.
Yep, yes, and I want to make sure all of this information is placed in the description. And I don't know why I know you was in San Antonio. You're like 2 hours away.
Yes, ma'am.
We got to meet up.
Yes, ma'am.
About a month ago, if I would have known, was it about a month ago? Probably about a month and a half ago. I would have hit you up.
What?
So, yes, I have a women's here in Houston area. So maybe you would want to drive down. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, so, men and ladies, we will. Yes.
Yes, let's do that. I'm going to get with you after the show. And so with that being said, you all be blessed, and I will be on as the Lord leads. Thank you for tuning in to the Faith Journey Journal. I am your host, Zakiya Robinson. And if you're a person who's looking to walk into your calling, the ministry that God have called you to be, and maybe you're a little afraid, maybe you don't know which way to go, then look into the description. I would love to mentor you on this journey. Be blessed.